You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We have an awesome series going on right now with authors of a book available from Emmanuel Press called He Restores My Soul.
Great names like Katie Sherman. Cheryl Swoped. Swoped. Sorry, Cheryl. I just added more letters to your name. Cheryl Swope. Thank you.
Cheryl Magnus.
Oh, yeah. Great names.
Heidi Sias. Deaconess Heidi Sias.
And another one to add to that list today.
Yes. Julia Habrecht. Headmaster of Emmanuel Lutheran School in Alexandria, Virginia, joining us to talk about her chapter in He Restores My Soul about being torn in two as a mother who also works as a headmaster of a classical Lutheran school. Welcome, Julia. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So you have an interesting chapter in this book that I think a lot of mothers probably, more than maybe we realize, struggle with, the struggle between motherhood and a career in the workplace, how to balance them, especially when it feels like you're being torn into with responsibilities. Tell me a little bit about your background, your work with with Emmanuel Lutheran School, and your experiences with this.
Sure. I was surprised when I moved to Alexandria in 2010 to have the opportunity to serve Emmanuel. My previous professional background had not been in a traditional education setting, but loved the church. I'm a product of Lutheran education. And as I transitioned to the area and to marriage, I wanted to keep myself busy and serve. So I began volunteering at Emmanuel and quickly became an employee in the administration at our parish school. And after a number of years and some staff changes, became the headmaster. So this was a new vocation for me, but has been a serious blessing to serve students of our congregation, families of our congregation, and Christian families in the larger Alexandria and DC community.
What do you love about being part of a Lutheran school?
Oh, singing hymns, going to chapel, praying with our teachers and our students. There is nothing more joyful than hearing our students recite week after week passages from Scripture, sing boldly from LFB, a hymn of the week and hymn of the year, confessing their own faith, and having that community of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ that you stand with every day, that you can get forgiveness from every day, and to teach the faith, to be part of teaching the faith.
How has being a part of that as a leader, as an administrator, how has that been an especially meaningful way of serving for you?
Well, as I said, both my husband and I, our siblings, our parents are products of Lutheran schools. And at a time when some of our Lutheran schools are closing or their population is decreasing, I just feel so strongly that everything we can do to strengthen our Lutheran schools, to grow our Lutheran schools, to make sure they're grounded in our true confession, in biblical teaching, is so important. So it's been an honor to be part of that endeavor here in Alexandria, and certainly part of the larger community of Lutheran schools, of classical Lutheran schools in our country. This is so important to the future of the church and the faith of the young people and their families in the LCMS and in our broader culture.
Tell me the brief version of your journey to parenthood.
Absolutely. It's been a whirlwind. My husband and I were married in 2010 and we're not able to conceive. We experienced barrenness and thought that the door to childhood had been closed. We didn't understand that, we had been also participating in the adoption process, but we had not been blessed with the gift of a child until we received a phone call to ask if we were interested in knowing more about a little guy who had been born on Easter Sunday. And we exclaimed yes, very joyfully and loudly. And about 7 days later, we were bringing him home from the hospital. So parenthood happened very quickly in the end for us. God granted us an amazing gift through our son. But it had been something that I think we believed would not happen for us. So it came as a wonderful surprise.
Tell me a little bit more. We love talking about adoption stories. Tell me a little bit more about what that gift of a child meant to you.
Oh, well, it meant a new responsibility, of course, and an awesome responsibility. Certainly with the joys were fears. Would we be good parents? Would I know how to be a mother after not being a mother? How does one become a good parent? What will we need to do? And of course, immediately we needed to prepare to bring him home. Our Emmanuel community immediately figured all that out for us. We didn't buy a thing or think about what we needed, but that was done for us, which was a huge blessing. We could just concentrate on meeting our son, that drive, a few-hour drive to meet him on a Saturday morning was filled with fears, but anticipation, mm-hmm. joyful anticipation. And when we walked into his hospital room and saw him, life changed, and we were looking at our son. So there couldn't have been a more joyful experience in terms of becoming a parent. But it meant everything changed, mm-hmm. Without a lot of time for planning or preparation, which is kind of how being torn in two began for me.
Mm-hmm. That's when sleep became a significantly different part of your life.
Yes. I thought I was tired before. I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. We began a new schedule, of course, had a new set of responsibilities and trying to manage, our current vocations, posed a lot of questions for us, and we didn't anticipate those questions. As much as we had longed and prayed about becoming parents, we hadn't gone down that road fully to think about what that meant as a family, what that would mean in terms of our professional vocations, my husband and myself. So we had a lot to talk about and think about, but not a lot of time to do that.
So not a lot of time to talk and think about it when your vocations quickly changed or you took on a new vocation. How, and we don't necessarily have to answer all the questions of how you answered those questions, but how did you go about those questions? What was important in how you approached those questions? Not necessarily what the answers were to those questions, but how you approach them in the days following this quick change in vocations.
Sure. Well, certainly we prayed. We talked with people who we cared about, who we respected, who had experienced similar changes, but also those who we knew loved us, people we knew cared about us, people we knew were praying for us. So I think first and foremost, that was important to us. I think the question on my mind was, of course, I am glad to embrace and give thanks to God for this new vocation of motherhood. I had already had the vocation of wife. The question was, do I abandon this other vocation? Do I decide that these other neighbors I've been serving, I could no longer serve in the same way? And I'm so thankful for a loving spouse who together, you know, we were able to answer those questions together. And he was able to say, yes, you are a mother and you do have a new vocation. Yes, you remain a wife and will remain faithful to that vocation. But yes, I want you to also remain faithful to your neighbors at the school, to the faculty, to our families, to our students, because now more than ever, the school is important to us because we now have a son who we want to experience this education, to experience the formation that happens inside our four walls, God willing. This is even more personal to us than it was prior to our son coming home.
What are you hoping that readers of your chapter will gain or understand or encouragement for them? What are you hoping that people will get from reading your chapter in this book?
I think I want readers to know that our identity, despite our many vocations, of course, is in our baptism. I make idols sometimes of my role as both mother and headmaster, certainly of wife, and I'm quickly reminded through faithful preaching and teaching that I'm a baptized child of God, and we all we share that baptism, and that is our true identity. I think I also wrote this chapter thinking about women who share the question I still have. How do I care for my family? How do I care for these neighbors here at Emmanuel? And there's no one prescribed way to care for our families. And this is the way that my husband and I have chosen to care for our family. My husband primarily stays home with our son and is able to manage much of the day-to-day activity in our home. But there's no one perfect way to love and care for our children, to love and care for our spouses. That's something I'm still struggling with. Mm-hmm. When guilt or worry distracts me, but it is something that I have come to embrace, wisdom shared with me from other mothers, and I'm grateful for that.
Our guest today, Julia Habrecht, headmaster of Emmanuel Lutheran School in Alexandria, Virginia, and author of a chapter in He Restores My Soul, available at emmanuelpress.us. Julia, thank you so much for being our guest today on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sarah. God's blessing.
If you're listening to the Coffee Hour, I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.